Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, gang? Welcome to The Greatness Machine. I'm your host, Darius Mrshadze. I'm so pumped to have you here with me. Now listen, The Greatness Machine, we're about two things. Number one, people who are living their passions. And number two, those who are creating greatness in the world and doing both of these things despite the odds against them. Each episode, we're going to feature interviews with game changers, business leaders, you know, telling us their origin stories, what made them tick, what got them to where they are now. Why? So it can help you step into your greatness within your life, your business, and your career. Occasionally, you might hear a few solo episodes from myself, moi as I say, as I leverage my 20 years of entrepreneurship as a CEO and founder to help you grow and level up in your journey to scale your life and your business. So come be a fly on the wall, enjoy the conversation, and I'm stoked to have you here with me. What's up, everybody? Welcome to this episode of The Greatness Machine. I'm your host, Darius Mrshadze. And man, I'm flying solo here. And we're talking about something a little near and dear to my heart. I'm reading a really good book right now, Thinking in Bets by Annie Duke. And she had a part in the book that reminded me of an old episode I did, which was one of the episodes I did, probably a year ago. So what advice would future you give to you now? And I want to go the other way right now. And I'm going to talk about what would advice would past you give to you now? We're going to do back to the future. We're going to go Marty McFly style. We're going to go fly in our DeLorean. But this time, past you is going to get to meet future you. And it was a really good question because she was using it from the context of decision-making and how we as emotional creatures, when we're in an emotional state, she uses the term, tilt, and that's a term that's used in poker to talk about when someone's on tilt. And when they're on tilt, their prefrontal cortex, the front of the brain, you know, the logic part of their brain shuts down, and you start hearing people get really emotional. And you know what I'm talking about when you've been there. And we start to not necessarily make decisions that serve the best version of our future self, right? And so it was really interesting when she was talking about this because I was like, man, I never thought about that. Like, if past me got into a time machine and flew to the future and met future me today, what advice would past me give to me? And I started realizing, I was like, well, what would my past self, you know, let's say it's 32-year-old version Aries. I'm 45 years old, 13 years ago. And it got into the future and was like, hey, man, you haven't done so bad, right? And past me would have been like, dude, you're being really hard on me now, bro. Like this is tough, you know, because I was actually in it 13 years ago. Yeah. 32-year-old version of me 13 years ago, 2011. Let me set the stage here. First of all, 2011, I was at year 5 of entrepreneurial purgatory. And I'm going to walk you through what happened to me in 07. And I'm going to walk you through how I acted to myself then. And to see myself now, future me would probably be, number one, really proud of me. I think the past me would have said, hey, dude, thanks. Like, you've come a long way. That's first and foremost. So I want you to ask yourself that question first and foremost. Like, would your past self be actually proud of you? And I'm going to tell you why past me would be proud of me now. And so 07, I had a business, Twin Capital Mortgage, got just crushed by what was then the subprime meltdown. I was a alt A lender, which became a subprime lender, which doesn't mean anything to you, but at the time meant a lot. And, this whole part of the world, the mortgage-backed security crisis from 2007 and 8 created the great financial crisis. And my business was literally at the eye of the storm. I had a company that my revenue dropped by 85% overnight, as in like one day it was almost $1 million a month. The next day it was $150,000 a month. And I still had $1 million a month of overhead. So, because my company was breaking even at that point, actually, we had been struggling that year. And so I got crushed, got killed. It was whenever I tell this story, I'd say I was like a train with the tracks running over a cliff, and I was racing to that cliff, and literally it fell off the tracks and was skidding to the end of the cliff. And this started in August of 07, and it ended in November of 07. And literally, like, the train was hanging off the edge of the cliff, and we happened to survive. We like basically burned through almost all of our money. We had a little bit of money left. And that was the beginning of 5 years of hell. 07 to 08, 08 to 09, 09 to 10, 10 to 11, 11 to 12. And 12 is when we turned it around. So it was like legitimately 4 years of hell. And then my fifth year was like a good turnaround year. But I called it entrepreneurial purgatory because, like, when you're 4 years deep into getting your ass kicked, like, you're every year you're hoping year five will have that fifth year where things turn around will happen. And I was just a complete like asshole to myself. Now, I beat myself up and looked at what had happened in the past and was like very resentful of everyone who I thought had done me dirty and did me wrong. And I couldn't have been harder on myself. And I was comparing myself to everyone around me. And my confidence, like whatever confidence I had, which I had a lot of confidence then, at the beginning, before that had happened, was shredded. Like, and I will say this, I did continue to show up, but it was like, I did not believe in my abilities to like turn things around. I'll take that back. I think I did believe in my abilities because I kept showing up, but I kept comparing myself against the previous success I had. And from 03 to 06, I'd had a lot of success. Even up until 07, I had a lot of success in that business. The business was number 45,000. It had been a rocket ship of a growth. I was 25 when I started the thing. This is by 29 years old. This is what it looked like. And the next 5 years were hell. And I just crushed myself. So being, if that was me, that was the human that was like, you know, first of all, wounded big time. I was dealing with a lot of demons from my life to that point. And they were coming out 6 ways from Sunday. And at the same time, the other thing that was happening was I became a new dad. I had my first son, Rumi, in 2009. I got married in 2007. I was new to all that stuff. But really, like, you know, like that was, when I think of that part of my life, that was like a respite. That was my family was my break from entrepreneurial purgatory. I would leave entrepreneurial purgatory, and I had a really joyful experience of having a newborn son who was a toddler at the time. But I was doing, you know, I was hustling. I had a moment in 2010 it was, when I actually moved to Southern California to try to buy a company, and my wife and my 9-month-old son were in San Francisco. And I was willing to do that. And I mean, I'm gonna get a little vulnerable right now. I mean, my health was not good. I put on a lot of weight during that time frame, and that I've since now taken off, and then by multiples and then some. I didn't get to this svelte, beautiful version of me overnight. It took a lot of work. I'm still a work in progress. But my health was not good. I had a great family life, but I was leaving that a lot to try to fix my business life. And my business life was kind of a train wreck. And I was in a really, really, really tough industry. And so, but I wouldn't leave it. You know, I was like, I'm going to figure out how to make this work. And I had people around me, some good friends who had figured out how ways to be successful in the industry. And it was motivating on one hand, and on the other hand, it made me question myself, like, why couldn't I figure it out? Now, hindsight being 2020, I look at that time in my life and I go, man, dude, you had pounds and pounds and pounds and pounds and pounds of weight on your neck. You had, someone had their boot, you know, the gods of punishment in business had their boot on my neck. And so, yeah, it was tough. And I was dealing with a really bad industry that was terrible at the time. The mortgage industry couldn't have been a worse industry to be in, or one of the worst industries to be in at the time. And I was dealing with essentially a failed business. It was a walking zombie business that I didn't know how to get out from under, because I had this massive, you know, envelope of an old business that was a much smaller business. My business had gone from a $10 million a year business to a $2 million a year business, but still had a lot of like the issues from the $10 million that we were dealing with later. I'll give one perfect example. This was, I had a head of operations. I'm not going to say their name, but they had had me sign off. We needed printers because we had this 20,000 square foot office that I had needed printers for, because we had needed to set up printing stations for all these, you know, 150 employees. And so she said, why don't we just use our printer, Konica Minolta. I can't remember who the vendor was, but Konica Minolta was the printing company. She said, why don't we just get, you know, you can lease printers. So I said, yeah, sure. Not realizing what I'm signing up for. You know, I end up signing up for $3,000 a month of payments for a bunch of printers for all over this office. This episode is brought to you by Shopify. In the world of successful partnerships, names like Procter & Gamble, Ben & Jerry, and Supply and Demand echo through business history. But when it comes to growing your business, who are the perfect partners? That's you and Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. We're talking from launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to did we hit $1 million order stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling shipping supplies or promoting productivity programs, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Picture this, a time when my business was facing a tough hurdle and I wasn't sure how to break through. But then came the breakthrough moment, a game changer that took my business to the next level. You know, what I absolutely adore about Shopify is its unparalleled ability to adapt and grow with your ambitions. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US, and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 75 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way, because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/Darius, all lowercase. That's D-A-R-I-U-S. Go to shopify.com/Darius now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/Darius. After, you know, the business shrinks from, you know, 150 employees down to like 10, you don't need, you know, six printers or five printers, or whatever number that was. So I look at the lease, and I personally guaranteed all these leases, and it wasn't for like a couple years, it was for 5 years. So I now have $3,000 a month of payments, $36,000 a year of payments, which you're like, okay, that's okay, Darius. And I'm like, not if you're not making money. If you're not making money, that's like that's someone's pay for the year at that point, some lower level employee. That's me paying myself. I didn't mention this. I didn't pay myself. My brother and I worked for 07. I think we paid ourselves like minimum wage, 8 nothing, 9 nothing, 10. I started to make a little bit of money again. I wasn't living off savings, and 11 was zero until the very last week of the year. So the 5 years, I literally like hardly made any money. And every dollar I was making, I was throwing back into the business. So like, if that's your life, and I probably had at that point a couple $100,000 a year of these liabilities from my previous business. Inevitably, the business was actually shut down because we had a large lease that we couldn't afford. We tried to negotiate with the landlord, and we ended up leaving the lease. We had to walk out on the lease because literally we were going to go out of business. And the landlord basically sued us. And, I was smart there. Unlike my copy machines, I had not personally guaranteed the lease, but you know, I tried negotiating with them. I said, look, I just can't afford it. And this is in like 09. So anyone that's listening to this that had a business in 09, if you were a commercial real estate person in 09, this, like someone walking out on a lease was like the total norm. It wasn't something I'm proud of, but it was something that happened because it was like a $20,000 a month lease and we couldn't afford it. And the landlord just would not negotiate with us. I said, hey, I will take a smaller location. We'll take a smaller lease. Like, we'll do anything. I don't, you know, I'm trying to honor my commitments here, but like literally this lease is putting me out of business. And they just wouldn't do it. And so we ended up getting a lawsuit with them. We settled on it. And the settlement was, they said, you have to shut the company down. So we ended up, that was part of that settlement. We shut the company down. And, but it was, yeah, it was really painful to have all these legacy issues, I call them. And I was living through that. That was my day. That was my life every single day. I mean, I'm, you know, if you saw what it was like to be an entrepreneur for me at the time, you would be like, man, that looks really hard, Darius. And it was. It was really, really hard. And what it did was it did a couple things. Number one is it showed me that I had a really high tolerance for pain. And I didn't deal with it very well. I took out, you know, again, my health wasn't very good. I put on a lot of weight. I was very, very, very hard on myself. And, but I learned a lot about how do you run a business with very little resources? How do you, you know, hustle? How do you grind with nothing? How do you, you know, how do you accept, you know, not accept defeat and overcome it? And by 2012, I was, you know, whenever people talk to me about being an entrepreneur, I say like, I was a entrepreneur that it was like, I was someone that had like five tours of duty. I was on my eighth tour of duty, you know, each year of duty was a tour of duty. I was on my eighth, you know, at that point, 8 years of tours of duty, a couple good, five really hard, but I was hardened. And Mike, my brother, he was hardened, and we knew how to build at that point. And we knew how to overcome adversity at that point. And so so I wanted to set the stage for that, because I wanted you to understand what past me was like. And what if that person got into a time machine and flew to the future? I know what they would say. They'd be like a couple things. Number one, they'd say, hey dude, thanks for taking care of your health. I want you to live a long life. So that's what past me would do. Thank me for taking care of my health. Number two, past me would thank me for pouring into my family. Because I always tell people there's three things in this world I care about: creating impact, building deep, meaningful relationships, and being healthy. And now I'm much healthier version of myself than I was then, much later in life. I'm 45 years old. I was in my early 30s. So thank me for taking care of my health. Thank you for me for pouring into my family. And it's funny. You're like, Darius, you're talking, this is all about business. You're talking about your family and health. And that I think would be something else that past me would be really happy with me about. Past me would say, man, you've really figured out what's important in life. You've prioritized the things that matter. And then last but not least, I think past me would look at what I've done professionally. I've been like, you know, I thought you would have been farther along. I thought you would have done more by now, but you know, you've done pretty well, you know, and despite, you know, where you've came from, I think you've figured things out, man. And I'm happy that the direction you're going into. So I want you to think to yourself, well, go back. I just gave you something. I went back in time 15 years, 17 years ago. And I said, what would 17, 15, 10 year ago version of me gets into a time machine? What would that person say to me now? And I just told you, I think that mine would be pretty proud of me. And the next question to ask yourself, which I'm going to ask myself live right now as I talk to you, is what advice would past me give to me knowing what they saw I am today? And I actually just think it would say, hey man, I think you figured a lot of stuff out. Keep leaning into what you're figuring out because you seem to be on the right path. So knowing that, how are you talking to yourself now? Because when I think of myself, I think of, hey, how am I going to keep doing more of what I want to do? And I think that that's the important thing is, would I take that advice and run with it? And I'll tell you this, for me, I am. And I want you to ask yourself, when past you is proud of you, which I believe it will be for many of you, and when past you gives you credit, when past you says, hey man, thanks for being more kind to me, if you're doing that, are you going to be willing to continue to do it? So I thought that was really, Annie Duke's like statement was actually really interesting and got me thinking about what would past me say to me now? I'd done it the other way, which what would future me say to past me, you know? And it's kind of the inverse of a lot of that. It's a lot of the learnings I've made. But what would past me say to me now? And I literally, this solo, I had asked myself the question without actually thinking it through till I got here live. So you were watching me work through this live. But yeah, it's interesting to think about that I've prioritized the right things in life and that I got to keep doing what I'm doing. So I want you to ask yourself those questions. Until next time, peace out. We love you.
You are listening to The Greatness Machine, and that's a wrap for today. Listen, if you love what you heard, subscribe to the show on whatever podcast platform that you're tuning in on so that you don't miss any of our future episodes. We have tons of great people coming on, and we're stoked to have you here to enjoy it with us. Leave us a review. Tell us what you love most about this particular episode. We love getting the reviews. We love to see what you guys love most. And if this particular episode, you know, made you think of someone who's leveling up in their business and in their life, print screen, share it with them. Leaders are the best givers. And after all, we're all here to support and grow with each other. And in case you want to see some of the fun behind the scenes shots or some of the things that we're doing, I'm actually writing about this in my weekly newsletter. Go to www.therealdarius.com and subscribe to my newsletter. We're talking about fun things like business and life and mindfulness and cryptocurrencies and gosh, I don't even know, everything and anything, but it's tons of fun stuff I write about. I try to get it out on a weekly basis. You can subscribe at www.therealdarius.com. And with that said, look, thank you guys so much. Appreciate you. I love you. Peace. We're out of here. See you guys on the next one. She's my lover.
This episode is brought to you by the Yap Media Podcast Network. I'm Hala Taha, CEO of the award-winning digital media empire, Yap Media, and host of Yap Young and Profiting Podcast, a number one entrepreneurship and self-improvement podcast where you can listen, learn, and profit. On Young and Profiting Podcast, I interview the brightest minds in the world, and I turn their wisdom into actionable advice that you can use in your daily life. Each week, we dive into a new topic like the art of side hustles, how to level up your influence and persuasion, and goal setting. I interview A-list guests on Young and Profiting. I've got the best guests, like the world's number one negotiation expert, Chris Voss, Shark Damon John, serial entrepreneurs Alex and Layla Hormozi, and even movie stars like Matthew McConaughey. There's absolutely no fluff on my podcast, and that's on purpose. Every episode is jam-packed with advice that's going to push your life forward. I do my research, I get straight to the point, and I take things really seriously, which is why I'm known as the podcast princess and how I became one of the top podcasters in the world in less than 5 years. Young and Profiting Podcast is for all ages. Don't let the name fool you. It's an advanced show. As long as you want to learn and level up, you will be forever young. So join podcast royalty and subscribe to Young and Profiting Podcast, or Yap, like it's often called by my Yap fam, on Apple, Spotify, CastBox, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.